At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
All right, Bills Mafia, here we go. Here we go. This is the Overreaction Sports Podcast. I am your host, Joe Miller, coming to you, recorded, pre-recorded, always pre-recorded, never live, right here from our world headquarters in Lakeview, New York. And that should make you giggle, because my world headquarters, as I've said a couple times on this show, is me and my guest room slash office slash recording studio. But my name is Joe Miller, and I am your host. This is an Overreaction Sunday show, and it's a weird Sunday. It doesn't feel like Sunday, and the reason that it doesn't feel like Sunday is, frankly, because the Bills played yesterday, which is really odd. Like, I don't know the last time we had a Saturday game. Somebody out there probably does know the last time we had a Saturday game. I personally don't know the last time, but my name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter. I am your host, at Joe Miller Wired. That handle again, at Joe Miller Wired. And it seems like everybody's had a pretty decent amount of time to process that football game yesterday. And coming off, I think I sent out my tweet about an hour and a half after the game, because I wanted to let it settle. What I was seeing on Twitter wasn't rational in a lot of ways. I mean, there was a lot of ups, there was a lot of downs, there was a lot of in-betweens, but I didn't want to send something out on my actual handle asking, basically looking for feedback, looking to find out how people felt when there was just a lot of raw emotion. It's funny to me because, and like, literally my first notes for this game are this. It's odd to me. Sorry, I was just turning my headphones around. It's odd to me how after every single Patriots game, how we feel as a fan base. You know, we're in this, that's it. You know, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I'm not going to get ahead of ourselves with this team every year. And it doesn't matter which game. You know, this is the, you know, we go into the game. I probably should have started there. We go into every Patriots game with this feeling of expectation, anticipation, and flat out, I don't want to say homerism, but just this reality in our own minds that we've made ourselves believe that this is the game. The Bills, this is the turning point. I do it too. So I'm not accusing you guys of any. I think I tweeted Danielle yesterday before the game, or maybe it was Friday, but I think it was yesterday, just that, you know, that the Patriots are the bully and it's time for the Bills to go Ralphie on the bully, right? On Scott Farkas. And I, you know, I put the gif in there of Ralphie punching Scott Farkas in the face. It was time for the Bills to knock the bully down, to punch him, take him out, impose our will on them. But we go into every single Patriots game, yesterday included, first game of the season, the first time we played them included, that this is the time. This is the game. This is the one where we have finally turned the corner. This is the one where we're going to show out for the world. I think that's what I said on the Friday show. That we're about to put the world on notice. As much as I said that the earth shook last week when we beat the Steelers, to secure a playoff berth with two games left in the season, we're going to put the world on notice this week if we beat the Patriots. Putting the world on notice that the tide has truly turned. But we get ourselves all hyped up and all psyched up, and we get ourselves all lathered up over how this is finally it. This is the turning point, and it's not just us. Specifically this time, the media was right there with us. National media, local media, podcasters, me, everybody. And I'm no expert, and I'm no authority, and I have no position or place where my voice is louder than yours, the people that are listening to me. My opinions are just as abstract or just as unfounded sometimes as yours. I'm not an expert, so I'm not a professional X's and O's guy. I am not a football science guy. I'm not a football next-gen stats metrics guy. And the reality is everybody out there who is, so there's levels of this fandom, right? So there's people that know more than other people, and I'll admit that I'm not the dumbest football fan in the world, but I'm not the smartest football fan. But even if you take the smartest football fan in the world and you compare him to the dumbest football fan, Bills Mafia member or whatever, general football lackey, the reality is not even the smartest football fan is in that locker room with that team. So they know just as much as we know, and their voice and their opinion is just as credible as ours is. If you're not in that locker room, in those meetings with that team, you know nothing. Which brings me, which is foreshadowing a little bit to a very interesting tweet conversation that I had with a Bills player that I'll get to in a minute. But we get ourselves all lathered up for this game, these games, every time the Patriots, every time. And every time the Patriots defeat us, and I'm going to be honest with you when I say this, these two games look different than they've looked in the past years. Like the Bills are getting closer. That window is closing. But then we come out of that game after we've psyched ourselves up, lathered ourselves up, fanned ourselves up, fanboyed ourselves up, fangirled ourselves up. And then it's back to, that's it. You know, I've learned my lesson this time. You know, next time the Bills play the Patriots, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and see. Until the Bills beat this Patriots team, I am not going to make any predictions. I'm not going to, you know, stick my neck out there and say what I think is going to happen or what's not going to happen. Or I'm not going to basically, you know, talk about how great the Bills are and how this is the time. This is the, now is the time, boys. This is the time we beat them. And then basically it's rinse and repeat. And then the next Patriots game rolls around, which is potentially going to happen in the playoffs. We're literally, quite possibly, we got the Jets, wild card weekend, and we could possibly be playing the Patriots right there. Or the week after, depending on how the playoffs go. So we're at the rinse and repeat mode, right? So the next time, whether it's this year or next year, we're going to be right back in that same, this is the time, this is the year, this is when we knock the bully out, this is when we go Ralphie on Scott Farkas and punch him in the face and swear and mother F this and mother F that and you this and you that and blah, blah, blah. We've all seen the Christmas story. But this time it was different because, like I said, the media was involved. The podcasters were involved, the local media, the national. The tune has actually changed and is different this morning. I don't know if you're watching or if you have watched. I mean, you might be in an emotional standpoint where, you know, history would tell you that tuning into highlight shows after Bills losses either mean one of two things. It either means there's going to be no tape, no run, no highlight at all. Usually there's zero highlights if the Bills win. But if the Bills lose, there's at least a 30-second clip of all the other team's good plays, the Bills, you know, and then the Bills' last play that didn't count, and then it's over. Or they basically trash us for 30 seconds. I would tell you this, the tune has changed. On the NFL Network this morning, on NFL Game Day this morning, they have been not saying bad things about the Bills and talking about this window and this gap between the Buffalo Bills and this New England Patriots team and the fact that the Buffalo Bills are the team of the AFC East in the future. That it's not going to be long before this division is ours. What is being built here is pretty incredible. So that's where I want your focus to be this morning. You know, I woke up this morning, or I should say I was, at some point I tweeted that I was just getting my thoughts ready for this, for the show today. And it doesn't matter what you feel this morning in regards to that football game yesterday. What matters is this. This has been a special year. Just take a second, Bills Mafia. Take a second, guys. Just breathe in. Breathe out. Maybe one more time. Come on, do it with me, everybody. One, two, three. In. Out. And just think about what a special year this has been so far. The things you've seen, the progress that's been made. I don't care what people say about Josh Allen. The kid's ceiling is incredible, and he hasn't made it yet. Some of the throws that he made even yesterday, and I'm not talking about falling away, falling back with pressure, two guys in his face and hitting John Brown for 53 yards. I'm not talking about that play. Let's talk about the Cole Beasley throw in the fourth quarter on the last drive. Let's talk about the fact that every single time this kid has to drive the field, he does. Let's talk about the fact that against the Ravens, the best team in the league, against the Patriots, the second best team in the AFC, maybe the league, he was one throw away from tying the game and sending the game into overtime. The kid is clutch. Let's talk about that defense. How special is that defense? And we're returning most of these guys. One of the two, Lawson or Phillips, is probably going to get re-signed. Who knows about Alexander? Phillips is coming back. We have another draft. I'm sure that they're going to make some moves in free agency. So they're going to bring a guy or two in. There's something to be said for what we have watched this year. This has not been a typical Buffalo Bills year. This has been special. And in the midst of your breathing in and out, if none of what you have seen so far, if you are fixated on the Browns game and the frustration, if you're fixated on the Eagles game and the frustration, both games lost by game plan, in my opinion. If you're fixated on that Patriots game, we weren't embarrassed yesterday, but if you're fixated on where you were at and your expectations and your hopefulness and what you expected to see and what you expected to happen, if you're fixated on that loss, all you need to do is breathe in, breathe out, and remember that we're going to the playoffs. That game in the grand scheme of things meant nothing. It meant nothing before the game. It means nothing now. Nothing changed. We are still the 5 seed. Depending on what happens this weekend and next week, depending on what happens this weekend, we could lose next week and still be the 5 seed. But it's just interesting to me, my first thoughts are that we get sucked into this cycle with the Patriots that, you know, this is the time. We are now better. We are going to beat the Patriots this week. And then we get beat. And then I'm never going to fall for that again. The Bills are going to have to prove to me that they can beat the Patriots before I believe the Bills can beat the Patriots. And the next Patriots game comes around and we're right back where we started. This is the game where we can beat the Patriots, and we're going to do it this time. I don't know what to tell you. They just have our number right now. And it happens. We saw it in the 70s with the Dolphins and the Bills. The Dolphins just had our number. And we know what happened when the Bills finally overcame that. The goalpost came down. Rinse and repeat, Bills Mafia. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. So yesterday was the tale of two halves, right? The tale of two halves. Not only was it the tale of two halves, it was the tale of basically two sides of the football. The defense, I don't know what to make of what I watched yesterday. Things just look different. The offense, you know, I tweeted at one point that these guys are scared to death. And the ironic part about me tweeting that, it was literally the next drive after, with 33 seconds left in the half, that they finally decided to dictate to the defense and turn it on. And I had an interesting exchange with LaAdrian Waddle, because LaAdrian just posted out there after they marched down the field and scored the touchdown with 33 seconds left in the half, he basically just put out there, he said, hey, does anybody still want to fire Brian Daboll? And I responded to him, and I want everybody to realize what a gift Twitter is to us, the average, everyday, common fan. The access that it gives us to players, the ability to reach out to them, to tweet at them, to talk to them, and have them potentially respond to us. Whereas, you know, before Twitter And before even recently, last couple, 3, 4, 5 years, like there was no reaching out to a player outside of like writing a letter and then they would write you back maybe, or they'd send you a signed picture or something. But it's a gift as a fan to be able to tweet at these guys, to be able to talk to them and have them potentially respond. And it's a gift that I don't want you to take for granted. And it's a gift that sometimes sickens me, because it's a gift that we shouldn't abuse as fans. If you are that guy listening to me, or that girl that tweets at players when they make a mistake or drop a pass or throw an interception or just play bad, that you like hate tweet them, you can just stop listening to me. Because that's really not, these are human beings and they're people. And I'm a little bit off script now, and I apologize. It just brought to my memory the fact, I mean, that there's a realization to the fact that I tweeted Adrian Waddle, or I responded to him, to his comment, and he responded back to me. So getting back on point, all that to say, let me wrap that one little thing up this way. Just keep in mind that these are humans. They have families, they have lives, and just like you, they make mistakes. They make mistakes at their job. They make mistakes in the things that they say. They make mistakes in life, just like you do, sir. Just like you do, ma'am. How would you like it if 1,000 people or 500 people, every time you made a mistake at work or made a mistake at home or got a little too angry with the kid and yelled too much or forgot to do something or forgot to pay a bill, how would you feel if everybody tweeted at you how awful you were and you should just go F and die in a hole somewhere? A little bit of reality right there, right? So anyways, it's a gift. Don't abuse the gift. Use the gift. Don't abuse it. Don't abuse the gift. But I tweeted at Adrian yesterday, LA, after he said, and I don't have any relationship with LA, so don't get the wrong idea. So I follow Shelby, Mrs. Waddle, on Twitter, and we go back and forth a little bit because she's, you know, and I know that there's mixed opinions about her, and I think she's great. I think she's a great ambassador for our team. I think she's a great ambassador for our city. And keep in mind that her husband has not even suited up for this team yet. I know there's a lot of hate out there, and I think it's undeserved, but this goes back to what I was just saying about people just being rude, obnoxious jerks. So I don't have a relationship. I haven't taken LA out to coffee. I haven't taken LA out to dinner. I haven't entered any of his contests to win. I follow him. I follow his wife. I'm just a casual observer. You know, I watch from a distance, and there's things that go back and forth. So there's no relationship there. So when I tweeted at him, when I responded to his tweet about people wanting to fire Brian Daboll, it wasn't like there was some, oh, I know this guy from LA standpoint. I know Joe Miller. So I'm going to respond to him. So no, I was just as surprised that he responded to me as anybody like would have been surprised if he responded to them. But he responded to me when I, because basically he said, does anybody now want to fire Brian Daboll? Or does everybody still want to fire Brian Daboll? And I said, yeah, but I don't understand. And I'm paraphrasing. Why wait until 33 seconds left in the game to dictate to the Patriots defense? And his response, he had two responses. And the first one was funny. It was funny. The first one, and I don't think I have the ability to see them. They're buried in my mentions at this point. The first one was because they didn't want to crap the bed at this point, which I thought was hilarious. So like basically he was saying they were trying to play conservative up to this point simply due to the fact that they didn't want to crap the bed and like lose the game in the first half. So now they're at the point where it's like, okay, we're ready to turn it on. And he responded again to me, which I thought was fair. I was like, all right, yeah, I'm sure that I get that, whatever. There it is right here. And then basically his next response was, and I think that this was his real response, got to execute better. Guess what they did in the last 33 seconds that they weren't doing before then. And he was talking about executing better. But that offense, in my opinion, and granted, my opinion is my opinion, and the defense for that matter, they were playing incredibly scared. Incredibly scared. They were not playing fearless football. We're not. And then the 33 second mark happens in the first half, and they marched on the field. Josh Allen hits the long ball to Dawson Knox, which was unbelievably dropped in. And then the play to Deion Dawkins, and they score a touchdown, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, the Bills are alive. Oh, they literally just woke themselves up, which shouldn't be a surprise, because how many times have we seen them do that this season? They muddle around. They shoot themselves in the foot. The best comment I think I've heard made so far was from Steve Smith Sr. on the NFL Network, where he said they just didn't have any flow. If there is a way to describe or define the Buffalo Bills offense in 2019, that would be the phrase. They have no flow. They have no flow. There's no rhythm to what they try to do. It's almost like there's no rhyme or reason. They just kind of like poke around and prod around and try to not hurt themselves until they find something that works, or until the time comes that they have to flip a switch. As much as there's people out there that don't believe that switches can be flipped. I've had those arguments with people that these are professional athletes and they don't flip switches. They just go out there and execute it. They don't. No, sometimes they flip a switch. Sometimes they just like, well, now's the time. The play calls are different. The execution is different. The urgency level is different. And they march down the field. And we saw it again yesterday. And then they get to the second half with the lead and they turtle shell. Flow. There's just no flow to this offense. And then you've got the defense. You know, the defense, I think for me, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time breaking this game down because I want to get to your guys' tweets. I was disturbed with what I saw yesterday, specifically after the hype that I gave them on Friday and what I was excited to watch. Because there was an exorbitant amount of missed tackles yesterday. And not good missed tackles. I don't mean missed tackles like, oh, you know, we got him in the backfield and we missed a tackle and he scored, Rex Burkhead, which happened yesterday. He actually broke two tackles. Those ones happen occasionally. And then the Teron Johnson missed tackle. But by and large, the missed tackles were coming 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, 7 yards past. So like the runner or the person with the ball, the receiver would catch the ball. They'd be 5, 10, 7, 10 yards downfield. And then they would make first contact, break a tackle, and then run for another 15, 20 yards. Those are very disturbing missed tackles for me. Like, that defense did not look like the normal defense that we have seen traditionally from this football team, you know, over the course of this season. The Patriots' numbers yesterday, Tom Brady, 26 to 33 for 271 yards and a touchdown. His passer rating was 111. That's the highest passer rating we have allowed to a quarterback this season. And I think it's one of his highest, if not his highest, passer rating this year. They ran all over us. Well, we got 96, 116, 116, another 20, 150 yards rushing against us. I just don't know what was going on defensively with this football team yesterday. They were playing, in my opinion, and I put it out there, on offense and defense, scared, afraid to make a mistake. They did not want to make the mistake. And then it loosened up a little bit in the second half. Like I said, this was the tale of two halves and two different sides of the football. And I think, personally, that if they come out in the first half and they play the first half and the second half the way they played the second half, we're having a different conversation this morning. I think personally, if Brian Daboll can find, and I'm not looking to get Brian Daboll fired. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I think that if Brian Daboll can find some rhythm and find some flow to this offense, to his game plans, to where it just becomes a cycle for them, and they're basically going out there and riding a bike, jumping on a treadmill, on the elliptical, like this is who we are. This is what we do. There's just no rhythm. There's no flow. There's no, I don't know what the word is. Steve Smith Sr. coined it. There's no flow. Like, that's the best word I can come up with. When you watch these games, they don't look sharp on offense until they need to. And then they look, why waste 45 minutes of a football game looking like garbage, a hot pile of dog crap, and then turn it on once or twice? Why not just come out with it turned on all the time? I think that's what I responded. My final response to LA after he said they need to execute better, and that was the biggest difference, was they executed in that last 33 seconds of the first half. I said, why not come out balls out? Why not come out balls out? Why wait? And for me as a Bills fan, that's the most frustrating part. And at the same time, I have to rationalize and give credit to the Bills team, to this Bills team, because they have played in the last 5 or 6 weeks the toughest NFL defenses in the league, which has contributed to making them look ugly, awful, like they have no flow. But I don't think they're helping themselves either. Where has the hurry-up offense gone? Where has the quick pass, quick offense, quick run, hurry to the line of scrimmage, catch the defense off guard, keep them in the formation that you want them in? Where has that gone? Because they didn't do it last week against the Steelers, and they didn't do it again this week. I don't know that that's an accurate description of the word evolving. If this is where we're evolving to, we're devolving. Is that a word? De-evolving? Devolving? I don't know. I'm not a science major. I went to school for marketing, and I'm a musician, and I'm not very smart. That's not true. I'm actually pretty smart. I just don't understand what they're trying to accomplish. Yesterday on defense, a lot of guys disappeared. A lot of guys. That's another thing too that's super super annoying. You got guys that come out balls out, and own football games, and then will vanish, Matt Milano, for two or three games in a row. Where was Shaq Lawson yesterday? By the way, this just hit me, and I almost tweeted it yesterday during the game, and I didn't. If the Bills let Shaq Lawson go, guess where he's going to end up? If you're guessing New England Patriots, you're probably right. And then he's going to end up being the number one defensive end in the NFL. Because that's what happens to us. But guys are vanishing in this defense. I saw a lot of Lorenzo Alexander yesterday making mistakes. I saw a lot of 57. And don't get me wrong, I love Lorenzo Alexander. He is one of my favorite Buffalo Bills. But Lorenzo Alexander, when he is the steady backbone guy of the team that doesn't get noticed and does his job, that's the great Lorenzo Alexander. When you're seeing 57 flash all over the field, missing tackles, getting penalties, it's usually not a good sign. But this team, there was just defensively, I don't know. It was just frustrating. And I know you guys were frustrated too, but and again, I wrap all that up inside of the reality that it doesn't matter because we're going to the playoffs. And everything is going to get reset in 2 weeks. Everything that you see, every yard that has been gained, every interception that's been made, every fumble, every touchdown, everything goes back to zero. Somebody hits a reset button, 2 weeks. New season. One and done. Everybody's one and done. Everybody's on an equal playing field. At that point in time, nothing matters. And the best thing the Bills have going for them is they're a road team. They generally do well against against teams on the road, and they generally play well against teams that don't have great defenses. And oh, by the way, that team looks to be the Texans. That's who it looks like we're going to be lining up against week one of the playoffs right now, which to me is a perfect matchup for us. That's a winnable football game. But I digress. I want to let you guys go. I want to read some tweets. So yesterday I put out there that you'd had some time to process. How are you feeling? How are we overreacting? Talk at me. And I'm going to read your guys' tweets right now. So at Saxaday, friend of the show, Dave Thorpe. Several overreactions. O was non-existent for all but 7 minutes. One each side of the first half and the last 5 minutes. D forgot how to tackle. We were soundly outcoached, but all that, and we still could have won. Ravens game, deja vu. He's right. These lessons are necessary on the road to ascension. I love that tweet, Dave. I love that tweet. I can't disagree with any of it, and I can't agree with it more. And I love the part at the end that you said, these lessons are necessary on the road to ascension. The Bills, I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from this season so far for me, is the lessons that this team is learning, being on big stages, being in primetime, beating the Cowboys at home, or I should say on the road on Thanksgiving, losing tough games, losing games on the final throw in regulation. Like, this team is learning a lot, and they're young. At Go Bills UK, surprisingly calm. This is his feeling. We kept it close, and it was a nothing game, really. The offense performed like you'd expect, 22 ranks versus the number one defense. Our tackling on D was disappointing. That's where we lost. Aside from the first drive and the Poyer strip, we were poor. Still playoff bound, as we were before. I don't think he meant to rhyme, but you could probably, if I can get somebody to rap that for me, I might have to get a hold of Spence. I don't know if you guys know this, but Spence has is a former rapper. I could probably get him to rap that tweet for me. That'd be awesome. At Mr. Alex Lamb, MRALEXLLAMB. And by the way, as always, every tweet that I read you is somebody you should follow. I'm pumping myself up for the Matt Barkley Duke Williams game next week. I'll be honest with you, I'm pumping myself up for that game too. I like Matt Barkley. I'm not a Matt Barkley apologist. And no, I don't think that Matt Barkley should be, you know, our starting quarterback. I think those people have finally gone away. But I like Duke Williams. And I think Duke Williams brings something to this team. And I know we've stopped talking about Duke Williams, but I think Duke Williams could help this football team more than Robert Foster has. I think we can give up 1/11th on special teams and put, you know, an extra 11th out there on offense in Duke Williams and probably be a little bit better. Rich Franco at Lawan. Oh, sorry. L-A-W-A-N-D sports guy. Lawan sports guy. They walk out of this game knowing they can go on the road and play with anyone. Not bad. That's literally what that game was about. They didn't get embarrassed in prime time, only game being played against the number one seed Patriots. Like, they didn't get embarrassed. They played well. They played good enough, right? So as difficult as the game was, as tough as it was, as much of a slugfest as it was, as much as they didn't execute their game plan, they didn't get embarrassed. It wasn't 53-1, or 53-3, rather. 53-1, where would that... Apparently, in my mind, we can kick extra points for no reason. Pardon me. Dean Mandel, at Mandel Dean. We had a Joe Arg, and he's got me a gift that says we were this close. He's right. That game was winnable. That's the frustrating part, is that game was winnable. At Gene 1097. At G-E-E-N-E. I'm sorry, Gene. G-E-E-M-E 1097. Gene 1097. I'm good. New England was better at everything today. Lick our wounds. Move on. Yep. That's what they're doing today. They're going through the tape today, and they're going to lick their wounds, and it's on to the Jets. At the Notorious Bob, NFL refs are trash. Oh, my gosh, dude. I could probably talk about this one for... There's all the gifts or all the videos that are coming out today, right? So Brady trying to trip Ed Oliver. Obviously, the face mask that wasn't called. The defensive tackle moving the ball and the ref spotting it where the defensive tackle moved the ball. There was so much... That was the worst. That was the worst and the biggest gift I've ever seen the Patriots get from a referee on that intentional grounding that was not called by Tom Brady. What a joke. At M Boat 6. M is in Mary Boat 6. Still annoyed. I don't care if we can play anyone on the road. I want to know we can beat anyone on the road. Be patient. That day is coming. That day is coming. At 2 Count 2. The number 2. The word count. The number 2. Pats holding all night. Nothing. Did you see one holding call on them? This has pretty much been the story of our defensive season. Like, the amount of holding, especially, and somebody expounded upon that about Jerry Hughes. That's why he sometimes, that person said on Twitter that he flies off the handle and gets so irate and, like, has bad penalties, is because he never gets penalties called when they're committed against him. And he's right. It's amazing. For an offense to go an entire game without a holding penalty is a lie. I'll say that again. For an offense to go an entire game without committing a holding penalty is a lie. And oh, by the way, for an offense with a bad offensive line, hello, New England Patriots, to go an entire offensive game without a holding penalty is a joke. And you have to wonder if it's fixed. And I know that it's not fixed, but you know what I'm saying. Why? It doesn't make sense. It's not even possible. At its JFEL. Great effort. Too little, too late. But we were about 12 inches from overtime. Yep. I got to open this tweet up. At Hats, Tats, and Stats. At Hats, Tats, and Stats. They've got a podcast that I've listened to a bunch of times. It's really good. If I'm the Pats, I'm the incumbent champion who's worried that he's lost a step. If I'm the Bills, I'm wiping the blood off my lip and smiling because they know they've got it. It's just a matter of time, ladies and gentlemen. That's a solid tweet right there. At Philip Valenci 7. At Philip Valenci 7. Not too bad. I'm loving the balance in these tweets, in these emotions, in these overreactions. at @Eagle_OC. I feel really good and have no idea why. The reason you feel good is because you have seen some special things this year. This team has done some incredible things. And, oh, by the way, we're going to the playoffs. And we're going to have a winnable playoff matchup. Anything can happen in the playoffs. That's why you feel really good. Last one for today. At @Myers8_M. 3 and out. That's all you wrote. As I'm sitting here talking to you, I don't know what that means. That doesn't necessarily mean that later when I'm thinking about what that means, that I won't be like, oh yeah, that's what that means. But right now, I'm not completely entirely sure what that means. So that's it. 34 minutes into this thing, that's my wrap on the Patriots loss. Doesn't matter. The game doesn't matter. Breathe in, breathe out. Think of all the special things you've seen this year. Realize, remember, get excited about the playoffs. Get excited about the fact that we get to pick on the Jets this weekend. Do you honestly think that this Jets team can beat our backups if the backups are who get played? I mean, we're looking at a situation where not all the starters can rest. So there are going to be some starters play, but there's no, in my opinion, there's not a world, even with our backups, that the backups are going to beat the Bills at home against the, like, it's just not going to, I'm sorry, the Jets are going to beat our backups at home. It's just not going to happen. So we got another fun game. So this team is probably potentially going to finish 11-4. If they don't, they're going to finish 10-6, which going back 5, 6, 7 weeks, what are our expectations? My expectation on the season was 9-7. If they finish 10-6, that's awesome. If they finish 11-5, I'm in another world. We got one more week of fun football that doesn't matter. No pressure next week at all. When was the last time that happened and they had a winning record and were going to the playoffs? Think about that for a second. Normally the last game of the season doesn't matter because we're so far out it doesn't matter. Now we're so far in it doesn't matter. Pretty cool. And then it's playoff time. So this is it. I'll be back with you guys on Friday. It is Christmas on Wednesday. I hope you guys have got all your Christmas shopping done. I have mine done. And I hope this holiday season finds you and your family well. However you celebrate the holidays, I hope that it finds you well. I hope that it finds you warm. I hope that it finds you happy. I hope you can find joy and peace this holiday season. I know that the holidays are a very, very difficult time for people emotionally with loss of loved ones and everything else that's kind of going on. But I pray sincerely for all of you that you find peace, hope, and joy this holiday season. Merry Christmas, Bills Mafia. I love you guys. Thank you guys so much for listening to me. This was an Overreaction Sunday podcast. This is the Overreaction Sports podcast. It was the Overreaction Sunday show. My name is Joe Miller. I am your host. You can always find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wire. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, I appreciate you more than you will ever know. You guys rock. See you on Friday, guys. Go Bills.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.